spirit of. But I will tell you this, is an amazing thing that we should you should think about. How can you bless someone, not just on Christmas time? And I find myself oftentimes when it comes to these types of things, trying to figure out ways to bless people. Some of the ways that we have done, you know, I applauded Jason and Jody for their delivery basket that they have out for their delivery drivers. But you can also do this in a grocery store. There's nothing wrong with purchasing someone's groceries. There's nothing wrong with purchasing or picking up someone's lunch tab and doing those types of things. And oftentimes when we do this, we're not looking for us to be exalted. We're looking for God to be exalted. And so we want to just honor that person. And did you give it?
Yeah.
Okay. They're here in 5 minutes. Oh, 5 minutes. Okay. All right, let's begin.
Are you going to dismiss the kids?
Oh, yes, I'm sorry. Kids are dismissed to children's church. I got some. Just stick them in there. Chad and Jeremy, I'm going to keep you guys on your toes today because if I cough, I'm going to try to cover up just to let you guys know. If you have your Bibles, turn to me, Luke chapter 1. Luke chapter 1, verse 26 through 38. In the sixth month, the angel Gabriel was sent from God to a city of Galilee named Nazareth, to a virgin betrothed to a man whose name was Joseph, of the house of David, and the virgin's name was Mary. And he came to her and said, "Greetings, O favored one, the Lord is with you." But she was greatly troubled at that saying, and tried to discern what sort of greeting this might be. And the angel said to her, "Do not be afraid, Mary, for you have found favor with God, and behold, you will conceive in your womb and bear a son, and you shall call his name Jesus. He will be great, and he will be called the Son of the Most High, and the Lord God will give to him the throne of his father David, and he will reign over the house of Jacob forever, and of his kingdom there will be no end." And Mary rightly said, I added that, and Mary said to the angel, "How will this be, since I am a virgin?" And the angel, that was good. That was about right too. Surprise, surprise. And the angel answered her, "No, oops." Did someone say oops? Did I hear someone say oops? There's no oops in God, Jeremy. Okay, just want to let you know. And the angel answered her, "The Holy Spirit will come upon you, and the power of the Most High will overshadow you. Therefore, the child to be born will be called Holy, the Son of God. And behold, your relative Elizabeth, in her old age, has also conceived a son, and this is the sixth month with her who is called barren, for nothing will be impossible with God." And Mary said, "Behold, I am the servant of the Lord. Let it be to me according to your word." And the angel departed from her. Now I want to pause here for a moment. We're going to read also this story in Joseph's eyes as well. But Mary was minding her own business. You know, we often say, mind your own business, right? Keep your nose out of other people's business. Guess what? Mary was. An angel showed up and shocked her world. And that's putting it politely and underestimating what the effect was going to be on her life. But I love Mary's response. And Mary's response is a response that we have to look at because Mary carried... Sorry. What's that?
Still heard it.
Yeah, sorry. And Mary carried the promise. You know, this whole entire sermon series has been about the promises kept and how God was keeping a promise to us to be God with us, Emmanuel, to live with us, to be here with us, to direct us and guide us. And all of those things are true.
Amen.
But we find that Mary was the first one to carry that promise. And Mary's response, "Behold, I am the servant of the Lord. Let it be to me according to your word." And the angel departed from her. Let's turn over in your Bibles, if you have your Bibles, to Matthew chapter 1, starting in verse 18. And it says, "Now the birth of Jesus Christ took place in this way. When his mother Mary had been betrothed to Joseph, before they came together, she was found to be with child from the Holy Spirit. And her husband Joseph, being a just man and unwilling to put her to shame, resolved to divorce her quietly. But as he considered these things, behold, the angel of the Lord appeared to him in a dream, saying, 'Joseph, son of David, do not fear to take Mary as your wife, for that which is conceived in her is from the Holy Spirit. She will bear a son, and you shall call his name Jesus, for he will save his people from their sins.'" I want you to also understand for a moment here that Joseph had the right to turn this down. In fact, Joseph had the right to stone Mary. I want you to understand what that means. In this day and age, if a wife was found to be pregnant, the husband could make accusations or bring to court his case against his wife. And if his wife was found to be guilty, which of course she was, then he would be the first to throw the stone. Which meant that she would die. He had the choice to do that. But yet, Joseph decided to quietly divorce his wife. What does that mean? He was going to make no public accusations about this thing that had happened. Meaning that he was going to be quiet and he was going to be off to the side and he was going to allow this to happen. And he would just quietly depart from her. Joseph was being a just man, and being a just man meant that he did not want his wife to be, Mary, to be punished. And so he decided to divorce her quietly. That is, until the angel showed up and changed everything for... Are they here?
Yeah.
Okay.
Send them in.
Send them in, that's right. Mary had the choice to turn down the angel. Joseph had the choice to turn down Mary. But they both chose to carry the promise in two different ways. See, Mary carried the promise. Joseph cared for the promise. And this is a very interesting thing, and it sets up the rest of what we are supposed to look at this Christmas season about. How do we take forth what has happened, this promise that has given to us? See, we first have to make the choice, are we going to carry the promise inside of us? And then once you're carrying the promise, are you going to care for the promise? And what I mean by that is simply this. Mary carried the promise because she had Jesus inside her womb. And so she carried the promise with her. Joseph cared for the promise. And that promise was that he could become the Son of God. That his son that was inside Mary would be the Son of God. Come on in, sir. I hope you're not embarrassed. Do you get embarrassed easily? All right, what's your name?
Bronco.
Rock. Rock. Rocco.
Yeah.
Rocco, come on. Come on. This is our Christmas Eve service because we are sick.
Okay.
And so normally on Christmas Eve, we order a gift and then we also order something and then we take up a love offering and give to the DoorDash driver as a tip. And so today, we want to offer this to you as a thank you for just doing your job and being here. It's a blessing from us to you from Passion Community Church.
Thank you.
Merry Christmas. I don't want to keep you because I know you have more, but God bless you, Rob. 0082. Yep. Yes. Merry Christmas.
Don't say no one ever gave you anything.
You have to understand. Listen, let me just say this. This week has been really, really bad. Just to let you know, when you are sick and then on top of it it's Christmas time and you don't get to spend time with your family and you don't get to spend time with your grandkids, and then, by the way, our Christmas has been a little bit different because it's just my wife and I now, and so it's a little bit different, but missing that time with family time has been really, really difficult. But I realized something in the midst of all of this, and I've been, well, I'll be honest with you, because I always am. I've been arguing with the Lord about this a little bit. And I've been asking him, I'm like, Lord, why? Why this? Why now? Why all this sickness? Why? What's going on now? And he goes, it's not about what you think is important. It's about me. And my wife and I learned how to have Christmas just together, just us two with no one else in the house, celebrating the Savior and his birth. And then I also feel like there's a reason for everything. We don't know what that reason is, but there's a reason for everything. And that obviously was one of the reasons. So as a church, please remember to hold up Rocco and keep him in your prayers as we go forward in all that we're doing. Is that a hot chocolate? Like, I did order a hot chocolate too, so... Yes. Awesome. Thank you.
Why did you get baby size, though?
Because I'm...
He was trying to be cheap. He was trying to get out of here. For as little money as possible.
Right. All right. Could you imagine for a moment, though? I just want you to... I want to understand. I want you to imagine. Place yourself in the feet of Mary. You're doing your own thing. You're behaving. You've been betrothed to Joseph, meaning your family has decided that you are going to marry Joseph. And this relationship is going to be whether you probably don't even know Joseph all that well. Do you understand that? Most of these were fixed marriages. And so she probably knew of Joseph, but she probably didn't know Joseph. And so while she's having this relationship, or she's being excited about possibly being married, but also very nervous, is some people think that Mary could have been as young as 13 years of age. Could you imagine you're being betrothed to your husband, you're leaving your parents for the first time, and lo and behold, in all of that, an angel comes to visit you and says, "You're with child." Fast forward to Joseph for a moment and understand that Joseph has the choice to not to enter into a relationship and marriage relationship with Mary. But the angel comes down and visits them both, and interesting, both of them, he says, "Do not be afraid." Well, sure, easy for you to say, angel, right? But they're both told not to be afraid. And so there we find that Mary and Joseph are the very first decision makers when it comes to Christ. You know, oftentimes in church, you'll hear us say, we want you to make a decision to follow Jesus Christ. And that is very true. We do. Every single person needs to have a relationship with Jesus Christ. It is our job to proclaim that, to encourage people to do that. But Mary and Joseph were the first decision makers when it comes to Christ. Mary chose to have that baby inside of her. Joseph chose to care for Mary and the baby inside of her. I love what Matthew chapter 1, verse 22 through 23 says. All this took place to fulfill what the Lord has spoken by the prophet, "Behold, the virgin shall conceive and behold, the virgin shall conceive and bear a son, and they shall call his name Emmanuel, which means God with us. See, we have to understand that for hundreds of thousands of years, there was a promise being made, and that promise was that God was going to be with his people, Emmanuel. Mary and Joseph were the first ones to choose that, to get to say, yes, I will receive that promise. Yes, I will keep that promise. Yes, I will care for that promise. Yes, I will move forward. They are ones that we should look into and say, how can we be more like Mary and Joseph in all that we do? Because this promise, Joseph, being a righteous man, what does that mean? He's from the lineage of David. The reason why the stump of Jesse that we find in the Old Testament, the prophetic words about Emmanuel, God being with us, coming from the stump of Jesse, that's possible because of David. And so we find all of these things that God, Emmanuel, is with us. We celebrate the hope, the peace, and the joy, and the love, not because a baby was born in an unusual place, but because for thousands of years that promise was promised, and in one night that promise came. That promise was kept. But it means more than just Mary and Joseph having a baby in a manger. It means that you and I and all of us get a chance to choose to follow Jesus. We get a chance to choose to have Emmanuel, God with us. We get an opportunity to receive this long-awaited promise that has been kept and fulfilled for us. See, the greatest promise ever made has been fulfilled, but that promise isn't just a season. It's a promise that Emmanuel, our God, will be with us forevermore. Luke tells us the second most wonderful part of the Christmas story, and that is the shepherds. And in the same region, there were shepherds out in the field keeping watch over their flock by night, and an angel of the Lord appeared to them. And the glory of the Lord shone around them, and they were filled with great fear. Again, yeah, no fake, right? And the angel said to them, "Fear not, for behold, I bring you good news of great joy that will be for all the people, for unto you is born this day in the city of David a Savior, who is Christ the Lord. And this will be a sign for you. You will find a baby wrapped in swaddling cloths and lying in a manger." And suddenly there was with an angel a multitude of heavenly hosts praising God and saying, "Glory to God in the highest, and on earth peace among those whom he has pleased." Let me stop here just for a moment. Do you understand that God never leaves you without a sign? If you're here today and you're facing situations, if you're here today and you're going through something, what I want to encourage you is look for the sign. You know, there was, I don't know how PC or how clean he is, but there was this comedian one time who would go, "Here's your sign."
Yeah, there's your sign.
Right? And he would say, he goes, "The reason why we have too many people today is because we took out steel dashboards. We used to have steel dashboards in cars. And then there was an accident. Now we have these padded dashboards. Well, here's your sign. That's why we have so many people." Now,
take the steel dashboards.
That's how it got
there. Here's the thing. God never asks you to do something without giving you a sign. God never gives you something that doesn't give you.
There's your sign. It's free.
Here's your sign.
Yep. There's a baby. There's your sign. Jesus will give you a sign in your life if you ask for it, if you seek it, if you look for it, if you have your eyes open, whatever you're going through, God will give you a sign to get through it. He never leaves you alone because he is God with us. See, what this Christmas season, what this Christmas time is all about is that God is with us, Emmanuel. And because he is with us, he will always give you a sign. He gave the shepherds a sign, and this will be a sign for you. You will find a baby wrapped in swaddling cloths and lying in a manger. The angels were saying, "Glory to God in the highest, and on peace among those with whom he is pleased." Glory to God in the highest, and on earth peace among those whom he is pleased. When the angels went away from them into heaven, the shepherds said to one another, "Let's go over to Bethlehem and see this thing that has happened." Could you imagine? Hey, bud, I think we should go over to Bethlehem and see what these angels were just talking about. Yeah, let's go. Come on. I got to imagine that it wasn't just some slight little comment like that, that they were shaking in their boots. If you've ever experienced a mighty work of God where God just comes down and he blesses you or he strikes you down. Listen, I've been in times in my life where I've been driving down the road and I've been having an argument with God and just a big lightning bolt comes down and strikes right in front of you. And you're like, okay, I got the message. Thanks, God. I hear you. The shepherds go running. Let's go over to Bethlehem and see this thing that has happened, which the Lord has made known to us. They go on to say, and then they went with haste and found Mary and Joseph and the baby lying in the manger. And when they saw it, they made known to them the saying that has been told them concerning this child. And all who heard it wondered at what the shepherds told them. But Mary treasured up all these things, pondering them in her heart. I want you to stop here for a moment because there's a couple things. Number one, the sign that the angels give to the shepherds is that you will find a baby lying in the manger. And that sign was not only for the shepherds. That sign is also for who? It's for Mary and Joseph, because you got to imagine they just had a baby and then all of a sudden here comes all these shepherds. Have you ever done something and you're like, this is exactly what I need to do. I need to go here. I need to do this. I need to do it. And then in the middle of doing it, you're going, whoa, wait a minute. I think I made the wrong decision.
Yeah. A liver transplant.
Right? Yeah. Mary didn't have a chance to back out. But I got to imagine at some point in her mind, she's wondering, did I make the right decision? And then the shepherds show up. And when the shepherds show up, they're telling them this message that's going on. But I want you to also read in verse 18, and all who heard it wondered at what the shepherds told them. Now, I just wonder if there was more than just Mary and Joseph in that manger.
There was a donkey.
There was a donkey and a cow and a, yes, drummer boy, yeah, because it was such a silent night. But you have to imagine that there is a sign, this sign coming. Could you just wrap your head around for a moment? You are the shepherds. You're out in the field. You're doing your job. Could you imagine going to work and just doing your job? And you're sitting there. Listen, could you imagine, Pastor Chaz, going to Goodyear and you're lying underneath the machine doing your job, and then all of a sudden the angel came to you and said, "Behold, this night." Could you imagine just for a moment, you're in your cubicle, on your job, doing what you're supposed to do, and all of a sudden the walls start shaking and angels start coming down. That would be a sign. The shepherds and all who heard it wondered at what the shepherds told them. But Mary treasured up all these things, pondering them in her heart. Scripture tells us. And then verse 20 says, and the shepherds returned, glorifying and praising God for all they had heard and seen as it had been told to them. I want you to understand. I want you to understand that the promise that was given to this world started with the two most inspicuous characters that you would ever first imagine. Mary and Joseph. There's nothing special about either one of them. Mary was a young lady who was waiting to get married. Joseph was a young man trying... Well, we don't know Joseph's actual age, so I stopped to say young man, but he was a man who was looking to build a family and to do all of these things and all of this time. And then we find that Jesus' first announcement, the very first birth announcement that came to who? Not to kings, not to Roman citizens or people with money or any of these things. It came to shepherds out in a field. The shepherds didn't Listen, the shepherds would not rank up on anyone's list of important people. In fact, because you're a shepherd, you're often, you stink, you spent too much time with the animals, you don't have skills to do anything else, so guess what? We're going to teach you how to become a shepherd. Go out and take care of the sheep. See, the promise that we're talking about here is that this promise was for all people. That included the shepherds. All their lives, the shepherds had heard of the Savior coming someday. And now he has come. And not only has he come, the angels have announced his birth to us. Could you imagine the excitement? Could you imagine the love? Could you imagine the grasp of all these things that you're just standing before them saying, they came to us. What we have to understand is that Jesus doesn't come for just rich people. People don't, listen, Jesus doesn't just come for people who are right. Jesus doesn't come for the people who got their life in order. Jesus doesn't just come for those people who have their slate clean. He comes for everyone. For the messed up, for the broken, for the downtrodden. For the ones that have been dealing with yuck in their chest all week. For the ones that Christmas didn't live up to their expectations. To those that didn't have family members around them, Jesus came. To those that they didn't have time to do or the money to buy the gifts that they wanted to come, Jesus came. For those that don't have enough to pay their bills, Jesus came. For those that don't, listen, Jesus even came for those that think that they're all right. Jesus even came for those that you may not like. I'll make it correct, Chad. Jesus came to love your enemies. He came to love you, but he also loves your enemies. There's so much to be learned from the shepherds, and one of the things that I want you to take away from this is that the shepherds were the first evangelists of Jesus. They were told about the life, they were told about his coming, they were told about all of these things. They accepted him, they accepted the message from the angels, they ran to find whether this was all true. Listen, you know, the shepherds were the first skeptical people in faith. They didn't just leave the field and go out and start telling people Jesus was born. Do you understand that? What did they do? The very first thing that they did was they went to make sure that the sign that was given to them was really there. Yes, the promise was given to us. The angels came down and told us all of this. But guess what else? We're going to make sure that it's there. But as soon as they see the baby laying in the manger, what do? They run out and they start telling everyone about what happened. They're the first evangelists of all time. And they something in there that we need to learn. See, we can understand the promise that was given. We can grasp a hold of the promise. We can see the promise and all of those things. What's that? Which one? I'll give you a hand, Christ candle. There you go. They literally. They literally walked away very quietly. There's so much to learn from the shepherds is that they took the promise that was given to them and they ran out and did something with it. See, my question to all of you today, my question to you right this moment is, what are you doing with the promise? What are you going to do with the promise that Jesus gave to us? See, the promise that was promised for thousands of years in Old Testament, you can read through any Old Testament prophecy that you want to, from the very beginning of Genesis all the way through the end of the Old Testament, you will find promises of Christ coming, whether it's his birth to a virgin, whether it's his birthplace, or whether it's his death on the cross and the pain that he would suffer. There are so many prophecies, over 600 of them, that talked about Jesus coming to this earth and what he was going to do on this earth. But what we have to decide, what Christmas causes us to look at, and what we have to do moving forward is, what are you going to do with that promise? How is it going to change you? Are you going to carry the promise like Mary? Are you going to foster the promise like Joseph? You know, there's something about, I love foster parents. In-laws, I love adoptive parents, because you're choosing to love someone that's not your own. And that's not easy, believe me, I know. But the choice is for each and every single one of us, is that we are given the opportunity to carry a promise inside of us like Mary did. We are given the choice to foster the promise like Joseph did, caring for it inside of us. We are given the opportunity to actually do something with that promise like the shepherds did, and how they ran from this place to share about Jesus. See, today, we all get to make a choice. And that choice is, what are you going to do with the promise that was given to you? I'm going to ask the worship team to come. Has the promise been fulfilled in you? Has the beauty of this event come into your heart? Jesus wasn't just a promise for them some 2,000 years ago. He was a promise for us as well. So today I want to ask you, for that promise to be fulfilled inside of you, what does that mean? In order for that promise to be fulfilled inside of us, Romans 10 verse 9 says that we have to confess with our mouth that Jesus is Lord, and that we have to believe in our heart that he has died on the cross for our sins. That is what's called, the church calls it salvation, but really what it is being born again.
That's right.
Being born again means that we are dying to our old self and we are growing into a new person, and that is the new person who Christ has for us. See, today, you and I and all of us in this room have to make a decision. And even those that are watching at home online, you get to make a choice. That choice is, what are you going to do with this promise that was given to us? I'm going to pray here in a moment. I'm going to give you an opportunity to accept that promise. But I want to also ask you that if you've already done that, what are you doing with that promise? Are you studying on it? Are you nurturing it? Are you growing that promise? Are you fostering that promise? Are you taking care of that promise? And what that means, listen, do we take care of Christ? Jesus isn't a baby anymore. He died on a cross for us. And so when I talk about taking care of that promise, that means taking care of the promise that's inside of us. That means taking care of your heart. Because you know what? When you accept Jesus into your heart, guess what? He doesn't come and then leave. He's there. And so the more you clean up the inside of you, the more that is fostering the promise, taking care of that promise that was given to us. But then, if you're here today and you've done that, then we have a responsibility. And that responsibility is to go and tell it on a mountain to every single person within our speaking voice, to hear about this baby that was born in a manger. Will you stand with me, please? Lord Jesus, we thank you for this day. We thank you for all that you have done for us. And Lord, we thank you for the opportunity to celebrate you even one more week, Father. Celebrate your birth. We remember Rocco, Lord. We lift him up to you now, Lord, and ask you that you'd bless him, that you'd keep him safe, that you would keep him protected, that that offering, that blessing to him could be a blessing that would just open his eyes. Father, we don't know his relationship with you, but we pray, Lord, whatever that is, whatever he's going through right now, that your hand would be upon him and that you would be touching him, Father. And Lord, we pray now that as we begin to wrap up this service, that we cry out to you, Lord, if we've never done that, if we've never asked you into our heart, if we've never cared for or taken that promise inside of us and carried it like Mary did, Lord, may today be that day where we say, Lord, forgive us of our sins. Come into my heart and let me follow you. And then finally, Father, may we all learn to be shepherds, proclaiming the good news everywhere. Help us, Lord, today to become your shepherds, to be led by you, to be guided by you. We praise you, we glorify you, we honor you, and we lift you high in Jesus' name. Amen. Let's sing together.
Go tell it on the mountain. Over the hills and everywhere, go tell it on the mountain, Jesus Christ is Lord. While shepherds kept their watching, or silent flocks by night, behold, throughout the heavens, there shone a holy light. Go sailing on the mountain, over the hills and everywhere. Go sailing on the mountain, that Jesus Christ is Lord. The shepherds lean and tremble when no one's on the earth. When out the angels chorus that hail the Savior's birth. Go tell it on the mountain, over the hills and everywhere. Sailing on the mountain, that Jesus Christ is Lord. Now in the lowly manger, the humble Christ was born. God sent us a salvation that blessed Christmas morn. Go sailing on the mountain, over the hills and everywhere. Go sailing on the mountain, that Jesus Christ is Lord. Jesus Christ is Lord.
Well, listen, we're not going to end our service this way. We're going to end it as we typically do on Christmas Eve, and that's the singing of the Silent Night by candlelight. And so what I'm going to ask you is if you could ask someone from your family to come forward. There's candles down here, to pick up a candle. But what I'm going to ask you to do is light the candle by the Christ candle. Why? Because that is the light that we're supposed to go out into the world with. The light of Christ. And so come forward, grab a candle. If you want to get with your families, stand around your families. If you want to stand up here, you can do that. But come forward and grab a candle.
You're not going to bother me, bro.
Yeah. Yeah, right.
Make sure that we're all together here as we're getting our candles. Thank you for obliging my wanting to do Christmas Eve on the Sunday after Christmas. Can you close the lights?
Close them?
Turn them off. Lord, thank you for this night. Thank you for all that it meant. Thank you for your birth on this earth. How you gave and sacrificed your life for us. And Lord, even though it's not at night, even though it's a Sunday after Christmas, Lord, we want to thank you. Worship you. Lift you high and mighty. May you be honored in everything that we do and we say. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.
Amen.
Let's sing together.
Silent night, holy night, all is calm, all is bright, round yon Thank you.
Yes, Lord, we thank you again for all that you are, all that you will be, and all that you have done for us. Thank you for coming to this earth to be Emmanuel, God, with us. Lord, help us to take forth that promise, to carry it, to care for it, and to proclaim it everywhere we go. We love you, Lord. We glorify you. We honor you, and we praise you. In Jesus' name, amen. Amen. God bless you all. Have a wonderful day. We'll see you again next week.